has a little different perspective, so they could, I'm sure they'd be happy to tell you their perspective of it, and I'm sure I'm missing things. But for message this morning, I titled it, Recognizing the Glory of God. And I was thinking about that we live in a, and we talk about often about we live in this corrupted society, but we also live on this earth that is filled with the glory of God. It is filled with it, and I was impressed this morning how the Sunday school songs that we sang, devotions, all kind of went with my thoughts. And my question this morning is, have you seen the glory of God this week? And I know by what Travis said that he did. And when I was thinking about the glory of God, I thought we'd just go to the Bible and read about some of the glory of God. And we'll get to this in Exodus later, I guess. But I'm just going to look at a couple of passages this morning where the glory of God was revealed to man. And sometimes I just wish that we had the glory of God revealed to us like this. I think it must have been an impressive. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. Talks about the glory of God. Moses tells the children of Israel in verse 7, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of God, for he will hear your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And then down in verse 10 it says, and it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And I wondered what that cloud looked like. There was something special about that cloud. We have clouds, but this glory that appeared was a special cloud, I believe. And these children of Israel saw it. Turn over to Exodus 24. We have another experience here. Of the glory of the Lord being revealed here in 24 verse 16. And it says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Here we have the sight of the glory of the Lord like a devouring fire. And I wonder, it's like a fire that was devouring but never died down, I guess. You know, most fires, you have the roaring fire, and with time it dwindles. But this fire, I believe, that they were seeing the glory of the Lord was just sitting there on top of the mountain, just burnt the whole time. Turn to chapter 40, verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and it says the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And again, we have there was something about the Lord, his glory, that filled this tabernacle. And I always just kind of in my, I don't know why, maybe it says it in Scripture somewhere, I didn't really look it up, but I kind of felt it was like a smoke, like a cloud that was just like in the tabernacle. And you could just tell it was the Lord's glory was there. This is what people experienced. We go to the New Testament, we have some New Testament accounts of the glory of the Lord as well. Luke chapter 2, this is Jesus' birth. Of course, we have the shepherds abiding in the flock, keeping the watch by night. Abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And then verse 9, Luke chapter 2, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. We have the angel coming down. Then we have the glory of the Lord shining round about them. And it says they were sore afraid. Again, we have a picture of the glory of the Lord, which was extraordinary. A bright light, this glory, people were seeing it. And it created in them, they were sore afraid. We have in Acts chapter 7, we have Stephen seeing the glory of the Lord in heaven. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. And he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is when he was being stoned, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. When he looked up, he saw that glory, and it did something for him. It did something for him. And we can see he was faithful there clear to the end. I believe it's because he saw the glory of God. So my question this morning is, have you seen the glory of God? Have I seen the glory of God? Because we kind of wish for these experiences, but the glory of God is all around us. Turn to Psalm 19. The glory of God is all around us, and all we have to do is look for it, and we too can see the glory of God. The heavens, it says in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And I thought the song that we sang this morning, 128, O Lord my God, when I an awesome wonder. And that's what kind of led me to this message this morning. And that is Thursday morning when the sun shone. I was driving and the sun was coming up. And the sun was shining on the sparkling water drops on all the green plants. And I thought, that's the glory of God. And we can see it. Those of you who cut flowers, you take those little flowers, you cut those pretty flowers and that smell and those delicate little things. You look at that. Can you see the glory of God? And see whenever we realize that that's the glory of God, then it does something to us. And that's how when I was driving down the road and realized that when I saw the glory of God on Thursday morning, it kind of struck me, why didn't I see the glory of God on the rainy days? Because it was there as well. But I guess I was too focused on my feelings and what the dreariness was doing to me rather than focusing on the glory of God. So the glory of God is all around us, but we have to recognize it. Ever since creation, God has been, He has given us this glory that mankind can see, and then we have a responsibility to do something with that. What does that cause us to do? As I looked at that glory of God and thought about my own self, then suddenly I became small. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Here we have an experience of Isaiah when he saw the glory of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, it says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah had an amazing picture of the glory of God. He saw the Lord sitting on a throne, and his train, which is like the robe or whatever, just filled the whole temple as a holy place. And I find it interesting, if you look into this a little bit, that this was in the year Uzziah died. And just for a little, it's a little rabbit trail, but it's something I wanted to point out. And that is, if you go back to 2 Chronicles 26, you see what this era of time was. And what happens to men when they quit recognizing the glory of God. It can happen to each one of us. It happened to Uzziah the king. 2 Kings 26, and this is one reason we need to always look for the glory of God and recognize it. We have here in verse 26, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah, and he built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his father. 16 year old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Talks about who his mother was. And verse 4 it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school, and I do not believe in the health and wealth doctrine that some preach. But in this day, in the Old Testament here, God did that, and he was faithful, and when people followed him, he made them to prosper, and that's exactly what happened to Uzziah. But when you get down to verse 15, and it's interesting how that all the things that he invented and made, and it says right there in 15 how he made in Jerusalem engines invented by gunning men to be on towers upon pulwarks to shoot arrows and great arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So we have this little thing in there that God was working, and he was marvelously helped, and he became strong. And then the terrible thing that happens next happens whenever we quit recognizing the glory of God. And it can happen in each one of us, but normally I think that it's possible we miss recognizing the glory of God whenever we become strong. Because And that's the reason I think there's so much falling away in America, because there's so many Americans that don't have a need. They have become strong and they become lifted up. And that's what happened to Uzziah here. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And then you can continue to read how he went against what God wanted for the king to do. And in the end, ended up a leper died. So I don't know exactly how. Perhaps God was just revealing himself to Uzziah again, to Isaiah here, because Isaiah would have known that happened, and he was saying, this is who I am. It says in verse 2, and above it stood a seraphim, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And he cried, and one cried unto another and said, and what did they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you believe that this morning? The whole earth is full of God's glory. It is, but we have to look for it, and we will see it. And that's what I saw Thursday morning whenever it suddenly dawned on me, this is the glory of the Lord. It is. And the door of the post moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And you can turn to Romans. We don't have to. Yeah, turn to Romans chapter 1. We have here how that God has used this whole earth, the earth full of glory, and he has given it to men, so they are without excuse. Romans chapter 1. And I believe we'll read verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, which I take that to mean that they are hindering the truth because of their unrighteousness. And we have so much unrighteousness about us that it can start to almost hinder the truth. But we still have the glory of God being displayed from the heavens. And it says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has showed it unto them. God has showed all creation the beauty, his glory, through the heavens. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. If any man, if any person looks into the heavens and sees the stars that Travis talking about, watch the ocean waves roll in and roll back out. If they go to Honduras and drive along the edge of the mountain and look into that valley, if they drive down the road on 50 on a sunny morning just after the rain came and see all that sparkling, you have to acknowledge the glory of God. You can't put it anywhere else. And at that point, we're without excuse, and that's where Isaiah was. In here, and back to Isaiah chapter 6 now, and the post of the door moved, the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then what did Isaiah say? He had nothing to say. But then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Suddenly he realized, Isaiah realized, and suddenly on Thursday morning that I realized that God's glory is so big that what am I? Just this little man in this little vehicle in this large earth with so many other people, and you go to another country and realize again how little you are in your own little spot, in your own little place in the world. And what am I? Well, I'm nothing. I'm unclean. I'm nothing. And that's what Isaiah felt here. And then it says in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. What did Isaiah do to take care of his uncleanness, to take care of his realization that he was nothing but unclean in the face of the glory of God? What did he do? He did nothing. God did it. The seraphim touched down there and touched his lips and said, this takes away your iniquity. This takes away your sin. Thy sin is purged. And then we have Isaiah saying, also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And it's a beautiful progression of how Isaiah realized when he saw the glory of God, recognized the glory of God, that he realized who he was. And when God was able to make him a new creature, then in response to that, he was saying, here am I, send me. I'll do whatever you want. And that is the same way with us today. And that is, when we recognize God and realize where we are, we need to understand that there is grace and there is mercy for each one of us. And you turn to Ephesians 2. And it says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What happened to Isaiah when he realized that he was unclean and he was dead? Well, the seraphim reached down there and touched his mouth with his coals. Well, this is what God has done for us. Where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I want to actually jump down to verse 4. But God, it says, in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made it possible, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's where we saw that in Isaiah. It wasn't anything that he did. Seraphim reached down there and says, your iniquity and your sins are taken away. That is the hope that we can have this morning. But we have to claim it. You see, what we read in Romans was those people that they were without excuse, but they did nothing. They did not claim the faith in Jesus Christ. They did not claim it for their own. But then also, as we experience that, then we also come to the point where Isaiah is, and we say, Lord, I'm yours now. Who shall I send? And we say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm willing to do whatever. And at that point, when we see the glory of God and understand his glory and understand where we fall in relation to that glory, then at that point we understand that everything that we do needs to bring glory to that glory. Glory to God. And I liked how Travis brought that out in his devotions, how our lives bringing the glory to God that I see when I see that creation, when I see the waves roll in. It was going down my thoughts exactly. Paul says to the Corinthians, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do what? To all to the glory of God. That we can continue to radiate that glory to people around us. The song that we sang, take my life and let it be what? Ever only half for thee? No, all for thee. Your whole life. Are you this morning when you recognize the glory of God, are you willing to take your whole life from now forward? Everything you do today, everything you do tomorrow, you're ready to take that all and do it all to bring honor and glory to God. And you can think about that. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may do what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Glorify God. Do the same thing that we're to do. Bring honor and glory to God. There's a psalm, Psalm 96, that I think portrays... I know it's Old Testament, and I'm not exactly sure who wrote it, possibly David. But I believe it portrays the hearts of those who recognize the glory of God. And I'm going to read this psalm and take a couple points out of it. Oh, sing unto the Lord, Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. I believe this morning that as we recognize the glory of God, that there are several things it will cause us to do. And number one, it will cause us to sing. And I love this. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And I wonder about the songs that's coming up from the most of the earth. And I wonder if the Lord appreciates it. But this morning when we were singing, and we were singing songs about giving our all to God, consecrated. We were singing about His glory. I think that is the song that God loves to hear. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And as we want to bring glory to Him, one way we can do that is sing about it. And I think it's wonderful we go into Old Town and sing, because there's something about, well, it says in verse 2, sing unto the Lord and bless His name. That's what we're doing. We're blessing His name and we're showing forth His salvation. I like when we go in there and we sing the song, Glory, I'm Saved. Because that we can sing that. And we can sing that to those people and they can hear that here's a people that have peace and that are saved. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all gone. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. I'm washed in the blood by the crucified one. Sing about it. Declare His glory among the second thing, and that is we need to speak of His glory among the heathen. We have that in verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. And I ask myself, and I ask you, and that is, are you declaring that glory among the heathen? You see, I remember being at a place of business one day, and a fellow came walking out of that place of business, and I said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm doing real good. Keep looking up. God is good. And that is, he was proclaiming to the heathen, I was a Christian, but he was proclaiming to me, he could have proclaimed it to a heathen, that there's the glory of God. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing what God is doing? Are you enjoying the sunshine? Are you seeing the rain? Are you seeing the flowers? Are you seeing the birds? Are you seeing nature? And do you understand that is the glory of God being displayed? It says here, declare His glory among the heathen. Are we doing it? It's the question I asked you and myself. And the third thing I want to look at was, we will give God the glory that is due Him. And I already mentioned this a little bit, and that is, what glory is due God? All of it. All of it. There's no glory that is not due Him. There's no glory that we deserve for ourselves. It all goes to God. And I found it interesting. Well, in Psalm 100, verse 3, it says this, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we are ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Therefore, everything we do needs to point to Him. And I found it interesting. I was talking to a man we just finished a job for, and we were talking about society. I believe he is a church-going man of some sort, talking about society and how society has degenerated and how social media has brought a lot of this on. And we had finished a pretty nice project for him, and the lady mentioned to me that if she was a certain individual, she would post it. But she said, I can never figure out why people post their things, because she said, mostly, if I would post this new thing we just built for them, obviously it'd be advertisement for me, but for them, it would simply be, this is what we did with our money. And she says, I can't see a good reason to tell everybody that. I mean, we have it behind our house, we can enjoy it, and it was something I would never build for myself. But I was just impressed that she had thought through that this would simply be what? To everyone else. So I just keep my life private. And that is, we need to think about that as we go through life, and that is, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and that is, He deserves all glory. All the glory. And also, when we recognize the glory of God, we will also have something to give. Bring an offering and come into His courts in verse 8. What do you have to give? What do you have to give this morning? We have so much, so many things, and there's differences in monetary things. There's, but we all have something to give to God. We all have something, whether it's our voice of praise, whether it's money in a financial way to some problem, whether it's work. We all have something to give, and that's what it says here. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Did you bring an offering this morning? Maybe we just put a blunt. Did you bring an offering this morning? Maybe it was 5 cents, maybe it was 10 cents, maybe it was a dollar, maybe it was 20. But did you bring an offering? Do you have something to offer unto the Lord, this glorious Lord? If you understand His glory, are you giving something to Him? And then the fifth thing I have here is we will worship the Lord in holiness. Isaiah said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And when we come to worship, my question is, are we coming with reverence? When we recognize the glory of God, then there will be a reverence when we gather to worship. And we will be giving the best that we have. And I know when you cross cultures, it varies. The best in some cultures would be maybe the least of what we have in our homes. But God doesn't care about that. He says, I believe he just wants us, when we come before his presence, that we give him the best that we have. And worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And the sixth thing I have here, and that is we will let the heathen know that God is in control. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Are you convinced this morning that God is in control? I am. And I know there's much unrest, there's much worrying going on about the upcoming election, how that will pan out. And we don't know, but we don't have to worry. But we can say among the heathen that because we see the glory of God and we understand that he is in control of nature, that he is also in control of the nations on this earth, and he reigneth, and what happens will only be allowed by him. Can we tell that amongst the heathen? In conclusion, let's look for the glory of God. We don't have to have a special revelation. Actually, I found it interesting. I was at a church recently and preached, and a man told me afterwards that he just wanted a glimpse of heaven. And he was an older man, and he said, I prayed that I could have a glimpse of heaven for a number of years. And he said, finally one night, I got a glimpse. And I don't think that's wrong. I think it'd be nice to have a glimpse of heaven myself. I haven't prayed for it enough years. I haven't seen it yet. But we have biblical accounts where we have the glory of God manifested in special ways to the people. But Psalm simply says, the heavens declare the glory of God. We don't have to look for that special revelation. We can see it. It's all around us. And the earth showeth his handiwork. Let's see it in the small things in life. Let me kneel for prayer.